This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
I meant those blackout motorized shades.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. I installed these and then got some from my mom. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Hall of Fame son.
They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Blinds.com is the GOAT.
Visit Blinds.com now for up to 45% off site-wide and free professional installation. Rules and restrictions apply.
Thy ticket, Lady Jennifer of Coolidge.
Well, many thanks, good sir. Heareth my Discover card.
They accept Discover at Renaissance fairs?
Yeah, they do here. Discover is accepted at the places I love to shop. Getteth with the times.
With the times?
You're playing the lute.
Yeah, and it sounds pretty good, right?
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
Welcome to Speed City with John Massengill, Les Kaiser, and Jonathan Green. Brought to you by MyPlates.com. Upgrade your license plate at MyPlates.com. It's the fastest hour on the radio. Speed City.
Good evening, gearheads. Welcome to Speed City. We are excited because we have a great show for you tonight. We saw an incredible Formula One race today and also some great MotoGP racing to wrap up the season. So we're going to talk about both of those. And we're also going to be joined in studio tonight by the fine folks at Ducati Austin to talk about the interesting end of the season for Ducati and what all the changes that are going on in Ducati MotoGP world, and also about the new bikes that are coming out from Ducati that were all announced.
I sat there and watched the reveal this week, and it was fantastic.
Yeah,
I encourage you to go check it out. It's still available online to watch.
Yeah, we'll find a link to that and tweet
it
out.
And by the way, the $80,000 version is sold out.
Dang it! I had my checkbook ready. The $12.99 Superleggera.
I just didn't have a bank account ready.
Well, this is John Massengill. That's Les Kaiser. And Jonathan Green is not going to be joining us tonight because he's on his way to do the Macau Grand Prix.
He ought to be almost there.
Yeah, he's probably in the air about to land. But the Macau Grand Prix is an awesome deal. And he's done that every year for, I don't know, probably pushing 20 years.
I think it's 18 years this year.
Is it? I knew it was a lot. But
Yeah. It's apparently quite the event. I've talked to a few folks that have been there, and they say just the entire place. They said one of the responses or descriptions was Las Vegas times five.
Oh,
in a more concentrated area.
Yeah, because you're right. Macau is a giant gambling town, but the Grand Prix itself is multifaceted because it's got the Formula 3 is kind of the premier event, but then it also has... very close to being a premier event is the Motorcycle Grand Prix. And then they've got GT classes. They've got a whole bunch of classes.
I love the idea of seeing all those different motorsports, you know, genres, if you will, in one weekend, in one place.
Yeah. And you know what? It's a big deal for race drivers because they come from all over the world to go to Macau. And there's been some huge names that have come out of there.
Well, for many of them, their season's just ended, their primary season. So it works out... you know, kind of the after party of the season, their primary season.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a good point. Well, hey, let's talk about Formula One to start off with, because
get some help with this?
We can get some help with this. We're gonna have Inga Strecka join us in just a second here, because she is as usual staying up late for us.
And we know people.
We do know people. In fact, there she is now. So let's go ahead and bring Inga Strecka on. Inga, welcome back to Speed City.
I'm glad I do know you guys.
Well, to be honest, we're not good
what
at posting
could I do
bail.
Without you?
We're not good at posting bail, so anyway, that's what we call you for. Inga, what a race.
Yeah, amazing. I mean, after I remember it did bring back the memory to Montreal, that one race where it took, I think we set 6 hours or something like that. So now they have cut down the race time, including stops, to a maximum of 4 hours. We didn't reach that, but we got close.
It did. In fact, I think it was kind of to the point that they actually, the clock was running out right simultaneously with the last lap. So they let him finish that lap. So, yeah.
That, of course. But also you have to then calculate in the two stops, which when the race is red flagged, the clock is not running anymore. So that added to the whole time.
Yeah, well, Les and I were sitting here trying to figure all that out because we were both saying the same thing that you just said, was that, well, it used to be 2 hours, then the stops don't count. But anyway, the bottom line was it made for some interesting racing. I don't know if you'd call it great racing, but it was, there was definitely some great racing, like Verstappen coming through the crowd. And
yeah,
it was
end of the day. Yeah. End of the day, have to say it.
Yeah, and it will. So what were the highlights for you, Inga?
Well, I think the real highlight is, A, that everybody made it safe and sound and nobody got hurt, because there were some pretty big crashes, like that Kimi Räikkönen crash on the start-finish straight,
yeah,
turning around, facing backwards, and then ongoing cars coming, and the visibility was almost zero. Wow, that was really close. He had a big guardian angel there.
Yeah, that could have been a disaster.
And you know, Sebastian had almost the identical situation, and he just threaded the needle through the pack passing by. That was a really lucky spot, too.
Yes. And then Ericsson at the pit entry and Verstappen coming shooting in there just about to avoid him. Boy, that was close too.
Well, another one of the stories, of course, was Haas F1 not having a very good day with Grosjean crashing out before the even, I mean, essentially right when he came out on the track. And then not being able to get the car repaired because it was pretty much a disaster. But, you know, we saw the Gutierrez and Gunther Steiner, a little argument. Gunther Steiner grabbed him by the arm and turned him around. I don't know. I have not heard exactly what Gutierrez said. I don't know. What do you know about that incident?
Well, I don't know. I did see that Gutierrez was throwing his gloves in the corner when he got out of the car, when he got into the garage. Of course, he's Mexican. He has a temper. And I think Gunther was just like calming him down. And I think that was the main thing of that situation.
Well, I noticed something that looked like a hand gesture, too. And right then, Gunther snapped him right quick and turned him around.
Well, someone from the team jumped right in front of everybody seeing it.
That was a good defensive move, too.
Yeah, that was pretty smart.
You saw the team sponsors and nothing else.
Yeah, that's a good move. Yeah, but you know, you can't blame a guy for being frustrated because he's being let go and replaced by Magnussen. Obviously, that's a huge story in Haas F1 land. And right. And you know, not being able to finish the race, that's, at least he's, you know, these guys are all serious competitors, and you know that stuff's going to happen.
Yeah. I mean, and if you're saying, like, what else was outstanding in this race, you should not forget Felipe Nasr in the Sauber.
Yeah,
it took them 20 races to score their first points.
Yeah, that is a big deal. You're right. There was a bunch of good stories today with, you know, with the rain always comes that X factor of who knows what's going to happen. And it started at the beginning and continued all the way through the race.
To me, it was as if, you know, you were walking on ice all the time, because I did. I was flinching with them.
A little bit less rain, we wouldn't have had those interruptions, those red flags. That would have been even more exciting.
Exactly. I just, you know, myself, I was tense watching all these little slips, and then Max having that charge from back in the teens all the way onto the podium was nothing short of phenomenal. And that he actually managed it at first, I wasn't calling it smart, but he got to podium, so who am I to say? But going offline for nearly every bit of that to make those passes
all the way. Yeah, that's a really good point.
Yeah. He was choosing a different racing line than everybody else. And even Martin Brundle on the podium asked him, he said, you were going a different line. How'd you do it? And Max was, I was just doing it, like, you know, as he is. And everybody was shaking their heads. And a lot of the experts were saying, why did nobody else catch up on that? Why did nobody try the same thing. Rosberg did when Verstappen was actually attacking him, but nobody really caught on what Verstappen was doing. That was pretty brilliant.
You know, Inge, I want to ask you, I couldn't help but think, and I'm certain a lot of people were thinking the same thing, is that how good he was in the reign of Ayrton Senna. You know, that was his, he was just untouchable in the reign. And the NBC commentators were talking about, I think it was Steve Matchett talking about how that's how he judges the real, just the cream of the crop. The very best drivers are like that. Are they the very, very best in the rain? And I know you've been around Formula One for a couple of decades. And how do you do you agree with that assessment of the drivers in the rain and their and that skill?
I mean, you can't compare anybody to Senna. That's for sure. But if they're good in the rain, then that is definitely a rare talent. And that is outstanding, because the rain kind of makes a lot of the technology irrelevant, and it shows more the driver skills. Michael Schumacher had some fabulous rain races. I remember, I think one was in Barcelona, where you just look at it. And then on top of that, Max does have sheer luck as well. I mean, he has a huge talent. He is clever. He's doing good stuff. Red Bull kind of, I don't know, I still didn't get their tire strategy, but it worked out in the end. But he does have a lot of luck, because he did have a snap as well, and he admitted later that he almost lost the car, but he didn't. And you know, a lot of other people probably would have lost the car, not just of driving talent, but luck.
Yeah, well, it was incredible to watch Verstappen, no matter how you slice it, to come through the crowd like that. But you know, another big story is Felipe Massa, his last race there and his last season. Yeah, what's your take on Felipe? I know he didn't have the greatest today, but and I know you've watched him over the years.
Oh my God, we were almost in tears. I mean, that march through pit lane, that was amazing. Like, you know, I felt really, really sorry for him. I really would have wanted him to do well in his final home Grand Prix. He is such an emotional guy. And he got out of the car and you could see him, like, tears in his eyes. He got the Brazilian flag out, held it up, and all those 10,000 people cheering him on. That was amazing. And then he walked through pit lane and suddenly the whole Mercedes crew, the whole Ferrari crew, they all got off their seats outside their garages, stood in pit lane, standing ovations while Massa marched by. That was pretty amazing.
You know, we've been with him in the paddock, and he is a super friendly guy.
Yeah.
And,
yes.
You know, he's very approachable and very grateful. He tells you thank you for the interview. And that's, you know, that's not common, I'll say.
I know someone else who used to do that, or who does that as well. I haven't interviewed him for a while, but I know he still does it. It's Alex Zanardi.
Huh. Yeah.
He is like that too. Yeah, Felipe has got a big heart. He's such a lovely guy. I'm pretty sure we will see him racing again. Maybe I'll see him in DTM. Who knows?
Yeah, well, I was hoping if I wick. Now, come on. We want him over here too.
Yeah, but we got the best cars in DTM. You know, Audis, BMWs, Mercedeses.
We have Porsche. They're the champions, you know.
Right. You have a German car there. Great.
Okay, I love you, Inge, but no, I want him in FIA WEC.
All right, so some of the other big stories.
How much are you paying?
Yeah. Les, are you going to hire him? And
can I borrow your checkbook?
So the other big stories, of course, are Mercedes. Lewis Hamilton once again won the race now, and keeping it interesting. And, you know,
12 points.
Yeah, 12 points. I mean, it's the same thing next week, of course. If Rosberg wins, he's the champion. And, of course, I don't know. I haven't looked at the stats yet, but it's going to be something like, I think Rosberg's going to have to come in, like, off the podium.
I've done the math.
Oh, there she is.
Okay, good.
I wrote it down. I can't do it top of the head. So, okay, if Rosberg makes the podium, he's champion, regardless. If he comes in fourth, fifth, or sixth, Hamilton can be a maximum second place, then Rosberg is champion. Of course, I'm looking at it from the German perspective, of course, right?
we expect nothing less.
Right. If Rosberg is seventh or eighth, Hamilton can maximum be third. If Rosberg comes in ninth or tenth, Hamilton can be maximum fourth. And here's the cool thing. If Rosberg doesn't score. And Hamilton is maximum fourth. He's still champion because they would have the same amount of points, 367, but and the same amount of race wins, 9 wins, but Rosberg would have had more second places.
Oh, okay, yeah. The tiebreakers.
Interesting.
That would be pretty amazing, I think. That would be justice to the season.
Yeah.
Well, we've talked about the rest of the group, and you know, Daniel Ricciardo's got third wrapped up. But fourth and fifth, you know, last week we talked about fourth, fifth, sixth. But this week it's narrowed down to Sebastian and Max after that phenomenal drive today. Those guys are only 5 points apart. And so fourth and fifth is going to be a good battle as well as first and second.
It's going to be fun to watch.
And especially those two as they love each other so much, right?
I recognize German sarcasm.
Well, Inga Stricka.
Well, you know what? That's new because normally people say we don't have a sense of humor.
That's right. You guys are doing it. You're breaking the mold, Inga. We appreciate it.
I hope we are not a bad influence.
That's your influence, right?
Well, Inga, we've got to go to the break.
Again about Verstappen's overtaking.
Inga, will you make that last F1 race yourself?
Yes. Yes, I will.
Awesome.
Can't wait. There's one particular thing I'm really looking forward to. Abu Dhabi, Sunday evening, Amber Lounge. The party, the must-be place.
The party of the season. Well, Inga, yes. Thank you for coming on the show. We got to go to break. Thank you so much, Inga Stricka, as usual, with the fantastic insight on Formula One. And we can't wait to talk to you after the final race of the season.
Travel safe.
Yeah, you have to catch me before I go to that party.
I don't know. A little microphone lube at the party could be interesting.
Thanks a lot, Inga. Right. Talk to you soon.
Take care. Cheers.
Bye. All right, well, we got to take a break. Listen to Speed City live from Austin, Texas. When we come back, we're talking MotoGP and the new Ducatis.
The 57 Chevy, a Rembrandt painting, the little black dress. When you're a classic, you never go out of style. And now, MyPlates.com proudly announces the return of the classic black Texas license plate for the first time since 1968, featuring a cooler, timeless look and a bolder style. Visit MyPlates.com today to order this legendary classic black Texas license plate for your car or truck. Classic Black is back at MyPlates.com.
Precision Camera and Video is the largest camera store in Texas with over 10,000 square feet and packed with all the latest manufacturer offerings. Founded in 1976 and still owned and operated by its founders Jerry and Rosemary Sullivan, Precision Camera is committed to the finest customer experience. With hand-picked products and on-hand experts, you won't find a more helpful, knowledgeable, and accommodating sales staff for quality service. Come see for yourself, Precision Camera and Video, 2438 West Anderson Lane.
As a rider, you know what you like. The power, the feel, the ride. When it comes to gear, you know what keeps you safe. Ducati Austin provides riders with the finest in Dan Easy leathers, the best the market offers. Visit Ducati Austin on Breaker Lane just east of I-35 and throw your leg over the most iconic sports bike ever built.
Ducati.
Even take it for a test ride or see what's been described as art on wheels from MV Agusta. You know what you like. See it at Ducati Austin. Online at MotoAustin.com.
Not everyone enjoys the specialty car selling process. If you've got a classic car or a sports car you want to sell, but you don't know where to start, or maybe you don't want to deal with the hassle of test drives, then let Mosin Motor Cars take care of the make-ready process for selling your car. The experts at Mosin Motor Cars take the pain away. Leave it to their high-quality expertise to prepare your car for sale, put it on display, meet the buyers, and handle all the paperwork. And that's just one more way to drive yourself happy at MosinMotorCars.com.
Talk 1370. The right choice.
I think I'm going to Kathmandu.
So Andy Prio driving for Ford Chip Ganassi Racing, and this is Speed City.
Get out of here.
Welcome back to Speed City. That was Andy Prio driving that Lamar winning Ford GT.
Yeah, he knows his way around a few tracks. Maybe he'll recruit Felipe Massa.
Ah, there you go. That's a good idea.
I'm sorry. I got to beat Inga at this. I want Felipe on FIA WEC. He's too much fun to have around.
You know, that seems to be the place for most of the Formula One drivers. It's probably, I don't know, it's probably the best money and certainly a high level of competition.
Well, you know, you're talking, you know, a lot fewer races. The environment is, quite honestly, a lot friendlier amongst the paddock when you're there.
Yeah. And you know,
I can't speak for DTM, but, you know, it's still a worldwide championship.
Yeah.
All of those. It's really big. DTM is a cool series as well. But
and, you know, they've got the major manufacturer representation in WEC, although that's a movable piece yeah. right now because with Audi
Notice
stepping
she
out.
She didn't say Porsche. I had to.
Yeah, that was funny. All right, well, let's talk some two wheels because we just got joined in studio by Mark Harries of Ducati Austin. Mark, welcome to Speed City.
Hey, guys. Glad to be here.
Well, we're excited to have you because we know that you know the Ducatis forward and back, and I think we want to jump into the MotoGP, the race today, and the season. Great season for Ducati, and let me ask you this. You would know better, as good as anybody on the planet, the old adage of win on Sunday, you know, sell on Monday. How does that do for Ducati?
Well, we're closed on Monday, so.
Okay, Tuesday.
Can we make appointments to buy a motorcycle? Is that all right?
Thank you, Texas Blue Laws, for that.
Yeah.
You know, I think for sure the big manufacturers, the Japanese manufacturers, absolutely. You know, I was talking to some customers this week who were talking about, and even the difference between World Superbike and MotoGP, they don't know the difference. They just see that big logo on the side of the bike, and they go to the showroom and say, I want that one. I want the one that won this weekend. Well, we don't actually sell the MotoGP, but I don't care. It won. I won.
Yeah.
You come pretty close, though. They are sold out right now again.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, you know, I mean, these manufacturers, yes, in the olden days, you would get, you know, the Enzo Ferraris of the world and the Dr. Porsches and on the motorcycle side, people that raced out of passion. Now it's all corporate. You know, they're racing to sell product and to build and reinforce their brand. And that's especially true for Ducati because Ducati is a sporting racing brand. That's their DNA. That's their heritage. Yeah. That's their core. And they infuse that into the entire product line. Even their quote-unquote cruiser, you know, has sporting DNA in the bike.
Oh, absolutely. And folks, you know, I told you a couple weeks ago, if you're coming for MotoGP, come a couple days early.
Yeah.
Come join me at Ducati Austin for the coolest kickoff party of MotoGP week.
Yeah,
I get to MC the team events with Mark and all the gang there and see the cars. The guy that was taking the delivery of his bike and got the two riders to autograph it on their way out the door.
Yeah, how cool is that? Andrea's on his
Not only did I pick up my bike, they already autographed it.
Yeah, that doesn't get any better. Every year, you guys have all the riders and who knows else who shows up at that thing. It's really amazing.
Yeah, well, thank you. You know, and the big question for us, and we, you know, when we're a little local mom and pop franchisee, and Ducati, of course, is Ducati Italy, Ducati North America, Ducati Corsa. Those are all sort of separate entities within the larger Ducati umbrella. So we're very fortunate that Ducati partners with us to support the little local guys and bring the team out. So the big question for us this year, or for 17, is will Jorge come to the party? I mean, we've had Iannone, we've had Dovi, we've had Ben Spies, you know, we've had Cal Crutchlow. Will we get Jorge at the party?
I can't imagine.
We got to let him know he's expected and if he's going to be anyway. But yeah, you know, it is. But folks, I'm serious. It is one of the coolest things. Get here a couple days early for that. You know, somebody took delivery of their bike, joined in the Red Snake ride directly to the track the next day. How cool is that? Y'all got a lot of cool stuff going on.
I mean, MotoGP, for us, again, we're a small shop and we're driven by passion. We're all riders. We're all enthusiasts. We're, you know, lifetime riders. You know, MotoGP is as fun an event for us as it could possibly be. And then the fact that we get to actually participate in it and not just spectate makes it even more fun. And then, you know, we've got Ducati people, the Ducatisti, the fans of Ducati are the best fans and the best customers in the world. And they love to come out and celebrate. You know, the Ducatisti is a part of the team in the Ducati culture. So they're very much embraced in that way.
Well, and like you, I think one of the reasons is because what you said earlier, Yamaha and Honda and these Suzuki, they're huge manufacturers, and they can't put that racing DNA in all their bikes. The range of bikes is just too broad. But Ducati, you're everything about every bike, the DNA somehow comes back to racing. And I think that that passion for the sport just goes through into all the bikes and all the fans of the bikes.
Well, you know, comparisons are made quite often to Porsche. You know, Porsche is a sports car company, and that's in their DNA. But when they make an SUV or they make a four-door sedan, you know, there's still Porsche DNA. It's still a good handling sporting vehicle, and that's sort of, you know, Ducati's approach as well.
It really is. You know, I've certainly put a lot of mileage on the Diavels, and I love it. And I was getting picked on by a Harley, and I ended that statement right quick.
with a fading dot in the rearview mirror.
Yeah, but man, what a day for racing, though, today from Ducati. An emotional day, in fact. So
yeah, absolutely.
You know, the battles with Iannone and Valle were great today. There was so much battle. Ducati had the grunt. You know, Valle had the finesse that the veteran that he does. It was something else to me to watch that go back and forth. I really enjoyed that. You know, certainly with Jorge, he kind of broke out and was gone. But that was great in seeing those two, because I've really been paying a lot more attention to Jorge since he's going to wear red next year.
Right. Well, yeah, I mean, a lot of things interesting about this wrap up today. First of all, the Rossi Iannone battle, as we'll say. You know, remember a year ago when Rossi, and we're big Rossi fans, we love Rossi, he's the GOAT, you know, yep, all that stuff, and big fans, and would love to see him hang a number 10 before he finally retires, we'll see. But remember a year ago, all that controversy and all the, you know, off track, you know, finger pointing about, you know, you cut me off, or you did this, or you did that. So these two have a very aggressive battle, but they're friends, and they're Italians. Mm-hmm. So it's all hats on the back and, oh, it was such a good battle with you today kind of thing. So, you know, interesting, the politics of it. The other part, yeah, it's a big end of sort of end of a chapter for Ducati and the turning of a page for Ducati. You know, they've struggled. They've had their best year in MotoGP this year in, you know, a decade. I think we had, made a couple notes. We had, I think, either 9 or 10 podiums this year, which is huge for,
yeah, huge.
Because remember, Ducati is sort of a grain of sand on the beach of Honda, right. Yamaha, et cetera.
Well, you know, to me, Iannone is a controversial guy. You know, last year's here, and he took out Pedrosa in turn one here at Circuit of Americas, right. Things like that. And so I know there's a lot of mix, but today he showed some emotion. I thought it was really nice. Let's hear what Iannone had said about that.
I think for me, this race is very, very difficult because I have a lot to pay from Alpha Race. And when I look my board and I check 16 lap, whoa, I think no, it's impossible because I have a lot of pay. But I'm focused a lot and ride very, very well. But for me, it's a little bit difficult because for the breaking point, the bike is very good, but I don't have energy for braking very hard. And during inside the corner, the bike don't have a good speed, and the Yamaha is better than me, no? But I think a lot, I stay in front, and I ride in my pace. I relax a little bit, reduce the pace. And when Vale pass me, overtake me, I acceleration a little bit more for overtake another time. I think it's a very great, a good battle with him. So for me, this podium is very, very important because I come back just one race before. And I think, thank you, Ducati. Thank you for all this year, for all this support. I'm very, very happy, and I think I remember this moment and this year for all my life.
So, you know, that was a nice goodbye.
You know, I think we're seeing out of the maniac, quote unquote, I think we're seeing some maturity. And I think he has evolved, and he's going to continue to evolve. You know, it's super classy, you know, and wonderful in his last race for Ducati. And Ducati's been good for him, and he's been good for Ducati to go out on the podium and go out in style and go out with a good memory and say, I'll remember this my whole life. You know, and I know the Italians, you know, he's an Italian, and we're always going to be supportive of him and wish him luck. But, you know, let's move on to the future.
You bet.
You know, there was a lot of discussion earlier in the season when it was announced that Jorge was coming over, but they hadn't announced who was going to leave yet between Dovi and Iannone.
We'll have to talk about those numbers in a minute. That's pretty interesting.
Yeah, that's a good story, too. We need to take a break, and we are going to talk about that peaceful transfer of power from Jorge Lorenzo going to Dakai. All right, guys, thanks for tuning in to Speed City. We'll be back after just a quick break and from the messages from the sponsors. Thanks.
Hi, I am an official Texas license plate from MyPlates.com, and I'm here to say it's time to get personal, people. Tell the world who you are with a personalized plate from MyPlates.com, like me. I'm talking favorite color, favorite team, favorite charity, and, of course, favorite state, Texas. Add your own message, and then the magic really happens. I'm the official Texas license plate from MyPlates.com, and I want to be your license plate. Go to MyPlates.com and order me today. Now that's what I'm talking about.
Precision Camera and Video is the largest camera store in Texas with over 10,000 square feet and packed with all the latest manufacturer offerings. Founded in 1976 and still owned and operated by its founders Jerry and Rosemary Sullivan, Precision Camera is committed to the finest customer experience. With hand-picked products and on-hand experts, you won't find a more helpful, knowledgeable, and accommodating sales staff for quality service. Come see for yourself, Precision Camera and Video, 2438 West Anderson Lane.
Want to drive your car at speed on Circuit of the Americas? Edge Addicts is your source for more COTA events and more COTA track time. Whether you're looking to host your own event or just be a part of the action, Edge Addicts can get you in the driver's seat and racing like a pro. All levels of drivers and all types of cars are welcome, with instructors available for first-time and novice drivers. Life is short and adventure is around every corner, so plan your high-adrenaline experience with Edge Addicts at edgeaddicts.com. Edge Addicts, it's better when you're driving.
As a rider, you know what you like. The power, the feel, the ride. When it comes to gear, you know what keeps you safe. Ducati Austin provides riders with the finest in day and easy leathers. The best the market offers. Visit Ducati Austin on Breaker Lane just east of I-35 and throw your leg over the most iconic sports bike ever built. Ducati. Even take it for a test ride. Or see what's been described as art on wheels from MV Agusta. You know what you like. See it at Ducati Austin. Online at DucatiAustin.com.
The boys of summer have nothing on the Gridiron Gang of Fold.
There's the snap, there's the throw, and it is knocked away! We just took it 28-21!
Hear every thrilling moment on the Texas A&M Sports Network.
Austin's home for Texas A&M football. Talk 1370, the right choice.
Presented by Page Tractors.
Talk 1370, the right choice.
The following is a paid commercial program. Views and opinions expressed are those of the host or their guests and are not necessarily those of Talk 1370 or Entercom Communications.
Hello, I'm Felipe Massa, and this is Speed City.
There we go, Felipe Massa.
Hey, you know, he got a good interview. Let's try to squeeze that in at the end.
Yeah, we did. We got a clip of that. But let's continue on this Ducati discussion with Mark Harries from Ducati Austin, because when it was announced early in the season that Jorge Lorenzo was coming to Ducati, there was the discussion which Andrea is going to leave.
Right.
And when that was chosen, there was some controversy there, wasn't there?
Sure. Well, and there were, I don't remember how many weeks it was after the Jorge announcement, there was and I don't even know what kind of drama was going on
internally
between the riders themselves, you know, which one of us is going to go. And they've been good teammates together. And again, they're Italians together, all that. Anyway,
to me, honestly, it was a pretty easy decision. After seeing what happened in turn one here at COTA, and then he actually took, he took out Dovi in one race itself, and it's like, I think we got our answer.
Yeah, well, yeah, and again, they don't call him the maniac for nothing. He self-titles himself as the maniac.
Right.
But the counter argument at the time was, you know, maybe Dovi's, you know, just sort of heading over the hill, and Iannone was the young, and we saw today even in the interview, you know, his maturity. The future is still to be written, how it plays out with Iannone. But at the end of the day, especially with the season being done today, here's the points score totals. Dovi has 171 points for the season, and Iannone only has 112.
I think that's an easy argument to win.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
I mean, when it comes down to it, that's what they're there for. So it's hard to argue with that decision.
And I think that Dovey and Jorge will work well together. I think they're similar enough. Their styles are similar enough. You know, Dovey is not a maniac. And we know, of course, that Jorge is absolutely, you know, almost robotic.
Methodical. Yeah.
So, you know, I think it's going to be a good pairing. And that's part of it, too. I mean, we've certainly seen at Yamaha, I mean, there's almost a silo between the two guys. You know, they're under the same banner of Yamaha, but they're not really teammates.
That's a good point. Yeah,
that's true.
You know, we saw some graciousness today and some hugs and all that. But, you know, there's been a lot of acrimony in those paddocks.
So what about Jorge Lorenzo coming to Ducati with this such a different, you know, all the manufacturers' bikes are so different. But I always think of Ducati as a little more different than Yamaha and Honda. For one, they seem to have the most power.
Right.
But they historically maybe have not been quite as refined or balanced or something. I don't know.
Well, let's call it as it is. They've been difficult to ride. I mean, the world's best riders haven't been able to conquer the Ducati. It's been tough. But, you know, Ducati's evolved a lot. Remember, too, when Rossi was there and when Nicky Hayden, coming off his world championship, were there, you know, Ducati was still independent back then, and then very early in the ownership under the Audi group. So we've had some more resources to put into the bikes to really develop them much more aggressively. So the bike that Jorge will be getting on next year isn't the bike that Rossi mounted, you know,
years ago,
5-6 years ago.
Right.
So, yes, it's sort of a comparison, and part of Jorge's motivation has been, I want to do what Rossi couldn't. I want to win a world championship on Ducati so he can sort of, you know, put that stake in the ground. But to be really fair, the bike has evolved a lot.
He may.
Well, and I look even further than that. And that's to kind of the corporate home of both of those, you know, of all those brands. You've got quite obviously the Japanese, you know, homes for those, and now you've got the Italian. And, you know, it's interesting. I don't know how it plays out, but, you know, Paolo Cipatti and that team are really welcoming to the fans. And I honestly don't see that when I go to the Honda or the Yamaha fan events. It's very different.
No, absolutely. And you know, Ducati sort of has to approach it that way. They have to embrace the fan base because Ducati, you know, we don't sell cars and lawnmowers and generators and violins and pianos. We just sell motorcycles. And we have to be, you know, we're sort of deep rather than wide. And that's not a criticism. It's just different business
models.
Just
reality of the way those. Yeah.
Sure.
You know, obviously those other brands are super, super successful.
Well, and that's true. And, you know, we've talked about it before. If you were just strictly looking at a horsepower number and this bike rides good, it might be hard to argue that any more than a Porsche against a, you know, another brand.
Right.
But there's a heart and soul to that brand and the people behind it that really communicate and really connect with the audience really well in both of those brands, Porsche and Ducati.
Well, you know, we're sitting here in Texas, not far from A&M, where they've got, you know, the 12th man. You know, where the fans are part of the team. They're integral to the success of the team and the motivation and the passion and the drive of the team. And I think that's a corollary to Ducati's approach with the fan
base. I think
you just
raised Les's blood pressure because the Longhorns lost this weekend.
Sorry.
But, you know, going back
that's
to...
That's right. I'm used to them losing.
Well, the Aggies haven't been doing much better lately. Speaking of... But Jorge, I'm going to go back to Jorge because, you know what? When you were talking about him doing better than Rossi and him coming to Ducati under the new Audi ownership with a little more resources, it kind of reminds me of 2012 when Lewis Hamilton was moving to Mercedes because...
Yeah, from McLaren to Mercedes, the actual engine builder.
Yeah, now, not exactly, but just the point that everybody was thinking, are you crazy? But he was crazy like a fox.
Right.
And who knows, maybe Jorge Lorenzo's thinking the same thing. It's like... Because, you know, I guarantee you when they're approaching him, they're telling him things like, hey, by the way, things are a little better than they used to be. We're going to have the bikes refined or whatever the language is. But there may be some of that as well.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, a guy like Jorge, it's not about the money. It's about the championships. And he wouldn't go, especially after seeing what happened with Rossi and what happened with Nicky, he wouldn't go if he didn't have a very high probability and feeling that he was, again, the bike was going to be right. The team was going to be right. The environment was going to be right, all that stuff. You know, the conventional wisdom when a guy or gal, makes a team change, car or motorcycle, is, well, it's going to take a year to develop the car, develop the bike, you know, and we'll, so this is going to be a development year and we'll, you know, we're going to write this one off. Well, Rossi today said, you know, you'd be stupid to write Jorge off next year.
He did. I saw that.
Yeah, that's good. And Jorge, you know, a class act, another class act. And he had a couple things to say about the end of his Yamaha years. Let's hear what Jorge Lorenzo said on that.
Very happy, very, very, very happy. Now I can stay quiet, I can relax, I can sleep deep because I had the perfect end, no? In my stage of Yamaha in all these 9 years. Very emotional. Before the race, I didn't expect to win because I knew Marquez was very strong, but luckily I could open this gap at the beginning and then maintain a little bit the distance. I suffered so much the last 10 laps because when I saw Marquez in second place, I knew he was gonna attack and push at the push for the limit, but finally just for 1 second I could win the race and make this last present to Yamaha. So today we're gonna have a big celebration.
Alrighty, those clips are from Dorna and MotoGP, but yeah, big celebration. I think he's gonna celebrate today and then again on Tuesday, because Tuesday he officially wears red.
Right. Yeah. Right. But again, a class act. You know, a good present to Yamaha. He spent his entire premier class career at Yamaha, I think 9 years. So this is a big emotional day for him. And those, yeah, you know, a lot of success. You know, again, some acrimony. Some, you know, last year, even though he won the world championship, he wasn't necessarily getting the limelight that maybe he and others felt he deserved. So I understand why he's making a change. But again, he's showing some maturity, just like Iannone today. Again, a gift. I'm on the podium for my team that's been very good to me. Yes, I move on, but I want to thank them. So both those guys are showing some maturity.
You know,
today.
Last year, I think part of last year around Jorge not getting more exposure, more accolades, was the whole Marquez and Rossi battle that just seemed to go on and just seemed to poison the rest of the thing. I mean, we all did just start watching those two. Every time they got within a space of each other, we were watching them to see somebody was going to get karate chopped or whatever the case was.
And meanwhile, guys like, you know, Jorge or Pedrosa just went to work and did the job.
And who knows, maybe some of that limelight that he didn't get, and like you said, he wants to prove that he can do what Rossi couldn't. Maybe there's part of that competitor in him that's going, look, I won a world championship and I still didn't get recognition. What if I go to Ducati and do what no one has ever done before? And maybe, you know, in recent history anyway.
Exactly. No, and that'll sort of, you know, rise his star and shut up the critics. You know, the other thing I want to say about Jorge, and I'm cautiously optimistic. And again, we know he is absolutely again, robotic, and I mean that as the highest compliment. You know, the way he rides, he's a machine.
Consistency is huge.
Absolutely, but he's also not been, again, let's be frank, he's not been Mr. Personality out there.
No.
Either. You know, you get a guy
He
gets the job done, but I in my view, to be a global superstar in any athletic endeavor, you've got to serve the fans. You've got to be the fan favorite.
Yep, I agree.
You know, if you want to, you know, Michael Phelps, or, you know, pick any sport, you think of the greatest. They've been exceptional on the field of battle, but they've also been energizing and role models and enthusiastic for the fan base. And Jorge hasn't been that to date. But again, you know, I think today with his, you know, it's a nice present for Yamaha on my way out. I think part of his coming to Ducati, I hope, is that he breaks out of just being a focused rider and smiles more and embraces the fan base and also realizes, again, he's in, I think, what is, it'll be his 10th season in the Premier League. Enjoy it a little bit. You know, God knows, Rossi's always smiling. Marquez is always smiling. Those guys are so happy to be where they are. You know, Marquez early in his career, Rossi late in his career. Let's see Jorge not just, you know, kick butt on the bike, but really become a fan favorite. And I think that'll really tie up the whole package on the Ducati team. So, you know, to be determined, but that's what I hope.
It's a good point, though, about those other guys.
Excellent. Even social media, social media of the F1 crowd has been a big topic this year. MotoGP, you know, we see it with Rossi and we see it with Marquez. They're pretty good on social media. Jorge doesn't seem to much care or put anything out, it feels like, comparatively.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I'd love to see, you know, Rossi on a box of Wheaties. Mm-hmm. You don't think of Jorge as a Wheaties kind of guy yet.
Yeah.
But here's hoping.
Yeah.
Yeah. Grape nuts, pure nutrition.
That's it. It's all business. All right. Well, we're going to take another break. But since we have the local Ducati dealer, Mark Harries, in the studio, we're going to talk about the new Ducatis.
I think he brought samples.
Well, I'm assuming he wasn't going to show up without something for us to ride, but we'll have to see. Stay tuned after the break. Listen to Speed City live from Austin, Texas.
Everybody needs somebody to love. Someone to love. Sweetheart Miss.
Welcome to Name Your License Plate. I'm Biff Biffington. All right, Mary Lou, for the cash, the trip, and a new car, name your license plate.
Easy. My plate is ADD24. ACL, ATM, ABC, ACDC, AAA. I can't remember my plate.
You should have gotten a personal Texas plate from MyPlates.com. They're so memorable.
And I could have saved 40% with a 5-year commitment.
Be a winner and order your personalized license plate from MyPlates.com.
Not everyone enjoys the specialty car selling process. If you've got a classic car or a sports car you want to sell, but you don't know where to start, or maybe you don't want to deal with the hassle of test drives, then let Mosin Motor Cars take care of the make-ready process for selling your car. The experts at Mosin Motor Cars take the pain away. Leave it to their high-quality expertise to prepare your car for sale, put it on display, meet the buyers, and handle all the paperwork. And that's just one more way to drive yourself happy at MosinMotorCars.com.
The racetrack, it's where legends are born, where only the finest machines earn their reputation for innovation and dominance. Such are the nameplates you'll find at Aston Martin of Austin, Lotus of Austin, Bentley Austin, and Rolls-Royce Motorcars. Austin, exotic, iconic automobiles whose racing heritage turns everyday driving into an inspiring journey, because you're never just along for the ride. Highway 183 north of McNeil Road.
Precision Camera and Video is the largest camera store in Texas, with over 10,000 square feet and packed with all the latest manufacturer offerings. Founded in 1976 and still owned and operated by its founders Jerry and Rosemary Sullivan, Precision Camera is committed to the finest customer experience. With hand-picked products and on-hand experts, you won't find a more helpful, knowledgeable, and accommodating sales staff for quality service. Come see for yourself. Precision Camera and Video, 2438 West Anderson Lane.
You've made the right choice. Talk 1370.
Hi, this is Jeff Gordon, and you're listening to Speed City.
That was all Jeff Gordon when he was here at Formula One, wasn't it? A few weeks ago.
Yeah, I talked to Jeff and his wife there. They were having a good time. They've been around it quite a bit. They do enjoy it.
Yeah, I was thinking about Formula One today because it went on delayed for so long, essentially delaying the NASCAR as they transitioned to NASCAR. I won't even
have to comment. If you've listened to Speed City, you know my comment that I didn't just say.
Well, I'm just wondering. I mean, we like NASCAR too. I just wonder how many people didn't flip the channel after watching Formula One and flip over to NASCAR. I don't know.
Yeah, it was rain related. The comment would have been.
Yes, I know. Hey, NASCAR doesn't drive in the rain. I know.
MotoGP rides in the rain. Ducatis run in the rain. Let's talk about the new ones here.
Yeah, Mark Harries of Ducati Austin's with us, and we want to talk about all the new Ducatis. I mean, I know that the flagship that came out, the 360-pound, 215-horsepower, 1299 Superleggera. I know that's the unobtainium, $80,000 motorcycle.
Right.
Yes, it's incredible. It's fun to talk about. But like you were saying earlier, they're basically sold out. And
it's like an Enzo Ferrari. You can't just go get one anymore.
But I'm glad. I love the fact that they build this thing. I mean,
absolutely.
It is amazing. It's fun to look at and talk about and bench race.
No kidding. Y'all have probably sold the biggest population. When I was out at the Ducati track day out here, mm-hmm. there was a whole collection of them.
Yep.
And the guys were like, yeah, we got it here in town, but I live off somewhere else. I mean, and there were like four of them all lined up there. And they're like, oh, yeah, yeah, no, we bring it here.
Well, and the other commentary on that is that the people, the guys mostly, that buy that pipe, the Superleggera, and this is the one coming out now, is the second Superleggera, which means super light. And actually engineers gone wild is what that bike's all about. The guys that buy them, they don't put them in an office under a spotlight. Mm-mm. They take them to the track.
These guys had one of the guys had a spare set of wheels and tires sitting there, and he had just all this other gear. He looked like he was ready for MotoGP, quite honestly.
Yeah.
Tire warmers on it, everything.
Yeah.
So, that's part of the thing. So, and yes, the new one, $80,000, a lot of money. I mean, in my world, I measure everything by two tacos for 99 cents. And that's that's a lot of two tacos. But when you consider what you're getting and the comparable, you know, how much was an Enzo or a LaFerrari if you had the means and if you could get one? So really, you're getting that level and even more of technology, of bleeding edge, not even cutting edge, bleeding
exclusivity
mm-hmm. at a really kind of a bargain if you exist in that rare air financially.
Right. There's here's something that's really cool is I got to look at the data feed because it collects its own data and you can download it to your PC and review your own personal data. You know, there's several bikes out there doing this, but I haven't seen anybody to the degree that the Panigale is doing on this, the Superleggera. So you're right. It's a whole nother world. But, you know, there is one that's got my eye and it's not unobtainable. And the new Scrambler Cafe Racer.
Right.
Oh,
check that out. You got to go back and watch this week's reveal with Claudio, the CEO of Ducati, but you've got some of the info on it.
Well, and actually, let me back up to the Superleggera just very quick, and Claudio. So Claudio Domenicali is the CEO of Ducati Motor Holding. He's the top guy, and he's a company guy. He's University, I think, of Milan Engineering, started with the company decades ago, was a junior engineer, was a senior engineer, was a race engineer, ran the Corsa department, ran Ducati design, and eventually when Audi bought it, they tapped him to run the company.
Met him here. He was here. Out at COTA during the Panigale R debut, the first Panigale R.
Right.
He was here and had Nikki sitting there and Ben Spies and a few others all pacing around. So, I mean, involved that he comes and gets involved.
Absolutely. And I consider Domenicali kind of the Bob Lutz of motorcycles.
Cool.
You know, those of you know Bob Lutz, I mean, he's car guy. He's Maxim Bob. Sure, he's always about the actual product, not the corporate baloney, but really, you know, the enthusiast guy, the car guy, the design guy. And Domenicali is the same way. So anyway, when the first Superleggera was announced 3 years ago, I think, at the dealer meeting, we all signed top secret non-disclosures, leave your phone in a lockbox and go in. And so we're going through the entire presentation of the day, and he's up there being the CEO, and the Audi people are there, and he's got he's wearing his suit, and he's going through his PowerPoint deck, and he's saying, you know, here's our market share, and here's how we compare to the relevant market, and blah, blah, blah. He's going through the motions, and he's doing fine. We take a little coffee break. We come back. He says, now I have something very special. They put up a slide of all the parts on the Superleggera that were unique to it compared to the 1299, the regular Panigale, all the magnesium, all the titanium, the lightened pistons, the CNC machine pieces, the carbon fiber, all that stuff. They put up this big poster, and there's 300 parts that are unique purely to the Superleggera.
Wow.
And Domenicali, the engineer and the boy, came out. He stood, I swear to God, he stood an inch and a half taller on stage. His eyes sparkled like he had his first crush of a girl, and he was so excited to talk about this bike. And that was, the first pen, the first Superstar.
Right, right.
For this year, the same thing, same exact over. And he talked about how amazing the first one was. And then he said, our mandate on this was literally engineers, Go wild. What's your dream? What and you take the bike that's already the most exotic that we could make. Where can you go even further? So, and again, I hate to talk about a bike that's unobtainable and sold out, but it gets all of us geeks
excited. It'll be on the poster. Yeah, in my garage. I've got to replace it.
Carbon fiber subframe, carbon fiber swing arm,
huh.
Carbon fiber wheels. I mean, the bike, the motor is the monocoque, and the rest of it, you know, the motor hangs all this carbon fiber. I mean, the thing is ridiculously amazing.
John, look at this. If he was a little bit shorter and a lot balder, he'd look just like Claudio.
He's got the sparkle.
It is. It is so cool. I mean, the technical, and, you know, John especially dives into those things. It's just crazy.
And,
cool.
And you know, I'm a street guy. You know, at our shop, everybody else on the team are track day guys. Some of them race. You know, they've got their CMRA licenses. Some of them, you know, everybody does track days. I'm really the most street guy of the bunch. I just want to go out in the country and get barbecue and pie. but I get excited by the technology, by the pushing the envelope. So moving on. So on the one hand, Ducati's released this crazy space shuttle of a motorcycle, yeah. But on the other end of both style and price and accessibility, you know, we've had the Scrambler brand, and it's really a sub brand for Ducati, wrapped around accessibility and fun and rideability for everybody. We've got two new Scramblers this year. The coolest one, in my view, is the new Cafe Racer. And what they've done, well, they've got two new ones. The Cafe Racer, which is, as the name implies, you know, clip-on handlebars and a humpback seat and all the styling you'd expect of a classic sort of 70s Euro cafe right. racer. And then on the other end, they've got a new scrambler called the Desert Sled, which is in homage to Steve McQueen's old Desert Sled back in the day.
Neat.
And Desert Sleds originally were just big displacement dirt bikes.
Yeah.
And what's interesting about these two scramblers, besides the sort of the extreme styling and sort of the purposefulness of them, is they've actually got upgraded mechanics to them. So the suspension is upgraded on the Cafe Racer. It's got a smaller front wheel. So it's not just sort of badge engineering, as they would say, but there's really substance to the model. The Desert Sled, on the other hand, has stronger suspension, long travel, dirt bike tires. It's really been re-engineered for the purpose. So those are, you know, on the scrambler side. And again, at, you know, way fewer two tacos for 99 cents than the Superleggera.
Yeah, what are the price range on those?
11,000 bucks. For the sled and the cafe, 11 and change.
I wasn't ignoring you. I was looking at photos of all of them and then just drooling, of course.
I'm still stuck on the Cafe Racer. And you know, quite honestly, part of it is the color scheme of the one. Go check it out on the Ducati website, or come to Ducati Austin and Breaker Lane and check it out yourself. Black with gold trim. This is like totally after my Lotus Love of 78.
There you go. Speaking of Mario Andretti.
There you go.
Yeah, there you go.
and by the way, all the new bikes, so the International Motorcycle Shows are starting back up for this year. And all the Ducati product, at least here in Texas, will be at the Dallas IMS show in January. The IMS is around the country. So as the product comes out, I think one or two of the new bikes won't be at the very first show, but soon enough in the rest of the IMS schedule, all the new products will be there to see.
I love that it looks kind of like the Steve McQueen bike. I'm looking at this photo. The coolest, probably the coolest movie star ever in the history. But, well, we gotta wrap it up. Mark Harris from Ducati Austin, we really appreciate you coming on the show. I swear this is not some big, long commercial. We got one of the coolest dealers in the country right here in Austin. And when you come,
best place to get your MotoGP souvenir on two wheels.
Exactly. But Mark, we appreciate you coming on, and we do appreciate you guys being sponsors of the show and everything. And obviously, every MotoGP year event is a huge event for you guys, and we'll make sure that we point people your direction.
Well, we appreciate it, and we're huge fans of what you guys do.
All right, we're wrapping it up. We appreciate it. Les, you got one more thing?
No, that's it. Travel right. safe, guys. It's great riding weekend. Watch out for our bike riders.
All right, and check us out on the web, speedcitybroadcast.com. We have new content all the time. Also, check us out on Facebook and Twitter. Facebook is Speed City Broadcast, and Twitter is Speedcaster. Talk to you next week.
Ciao, y'all.
I don't need her money. I don't need a ride. I got enough connection. I don't need a piece of the pie. I'm just gonna please her.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
I meant those blackout motorized shades.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. I installed these and then got some from my mom. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Hall of Fame son.
They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Blinds.com is the GOAT.
Visit Blinds.com now for up to 45% off site-wide and free professional installation. Rules and restrictions apply.
Oh, could this vintage store be any cuter?
Right? And the best part? They accept Discover.
Accept Discover? In a little place like this? I don't think so, Jennifer.
Oh, yeah, huh? Discover's accepted where I like to shop. Come on, baby, get with the times.
Right, so we shouldn't get the parachute pants?
These are making a comeback. I think.
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
The holidays are behind us and school routines are back. Now is the time to help your kids start the new semester strong. IXL helps students refresh what they learned in the fall so they head into the new year feeling confident and prepared. With new units and new goals, IXL is the simplest way to build better habits and stay on top of lessons without the stress. As teachers dive into new material, kids can practice those exact same skills at home to make sure the lessons really stick. IXL is an award-winning platform covering math, language arts, science, and social studies for pre-K through 12th grade. It's personalized, interactive, and actually fun. Keep your kids motivated for the second half of the year at IXL.com. Don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
It's a new year, and it's time to get your picks in 26 with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop Bob's for hot new styles featuring the latest technology, like stylish sleeper sectionals with immersive Bluetooth audio, relaxing reclining sofas with LED lighting, and fabulous fireplaces with mood lighting and speakers, all at Bob's everyday low prices, of course. So if you want to refresh your room for less, save big by stopping in or shopping online at Bob's Discount Furniture.